Okay, we said three svaris yesterday in why there's a difference between chai b'lav and ishtiyas. The first svara we said was in Rav Shimon ben Elazar was that chai b'lav and fight because the fact that they pass each other causes friction in the household, so the marriage is doomed anyway. Yes, please. Call a cup of cold water. Thank you very much. It's doomed anyway, and it's going to break apart. Rebbe said that biblical things we don't have to punish, whereas by rabbinic we have to strengthen it by taking away our tzuva. Then we had a third svara, which the Gemara either attributed to Rebbe or attributed to Rav Shimon ben Elazar. Originally, the Gemara said that is the reason Rav Shimon ben Elazar, meaning the Gemara says not the pshat because they fight, because one of them is pasul, but whenever there's a psul, we blame him because she doesn't want to pasul herself, her kids, right? And whenever there's no psul, we blame her because a woman wants to get married more than a man. And the second was that Satan Rebbe, because Rebbe was bothered about Chalutza, which is rabbinic, and yet we punish her. We don't punish the tzuba. The answer is because Rabbanah made him puzzle rabbinic, and therefore that's why he doesn't. She's not the driving engine in that case. Frank the Gemara, we are up to right across in Taisus L'Remasya Ben Cheresh. Right across in Taisus L'Remasya Ben Cheresh, it asks my Ikka. That's where we're up to. My Ikka. Pehei Amid Beis, by right across from Taisus Ularamasim and Cheresh. Now, the Gemara is now assuming that we are operating under the assumption that the Svara, that by rabbinic things she's the driving engine of the marriage, and by biblical he is because she wouldn't want to make up so, is Rav Shimon ben Elazar talking. That's how the Gemara is going to operate. Even though we offer two explanations, it might be Rav Shimon ben Elazar, it might be Rebbe, the Gemara is now going to proceed, the Rishonim say, that we're assuming that it's Rav Shimon ben Elazar that said it. So, assuming that, let's review what we have. Rav Shimon ben Elazar said, the reason we punish the woman by rabbinic marriages and not by biblical marriages is because by biblical marriages, we don't blame her for the marriage. She wouldn't want to marry when it's going to cause a psul to her or to her children. She wouldn't want to marry. Whereas by rabbinic marriages where there's no price to pay, she wants to get married more and will try to persuade him to marry her. So therefore we take away her ksuba by rabbinic marriages, not by biblical marriages.
Even though the marriage is a nothing, I mean, there's no obligations to her, she still wants to get married. That supersedes.
Well, the punishment is that we take away all obligations. That's what we punish her. We punish her to take away all obligations because we blame her for the marriage. That's why we hope that she won't get married. It's exactly what we're trying to do. We're deterring her from getting married by punishing her because we're blaming her for marriage that has no consequences. Whereas by biblical marriages that have consequences, we assume the woman wouldn't want to do it, and if it happens, it's him persuading her. And therefore, we don't take away her ksuba.
Right.
That's Shimon Elazar, according to the way the Gemara is going to operate now. And Rebbe holds the difference is biblical and rabbinic. By biblical things, we don't punish because there's no need to. Biblical stands on its own. By rabbinic things, we have to strengthen the rabbinic iser, and we strengthen it by taking away the ksuba. Frek the Gemara, right across from the Taisus Ularamasya ben Cheresh. My Ikka ben Rebbe l'Rav Shimon ben Elazar. So the bottom line is, what case is there a difference? They said different svaris. What case would there be a difference according to these two Tanoim? Amar Rav Chisda, Mamzeres u'Nesina li'Yisrael Ikka benayu. The difference would be in a case when a Mamzeres or a Nesina marries the Yisrael. Now, let me explain why. The Mamzeres, I'm going to explain what the Gemara is going to say. Let me try to explain it. Mamzeres and Nesina are biblical. Now, even though, just as an aside, Rashi's opinion was that Nesina is rabbinic at the end of the day, that David HaMelech is made the Gzera. But if you learn that way, then the Gemara just threw Nesina in here, Derech Agav, meaning the Gemara threw it in because it always goes together, Mamzeres and Asina, but really means Mamzeres. That's the biblical one. So according to Rebbe, that's a biblical Isser, and by biblical Isserim, we don't punish the lady. That's what Rebbe said. There's no reason for us to put any monetary punishment by biblical Isserim. Biblical Isserim stand on their own strength and don't have to be strengthened by any punishment. That's what Rebbe said. So therefore, a Mamzeres would not lose her ksuba. But according to Rav Shimon ben Elazar, this is what the Gemara wants to say, that according to Rav Shimon ben Elazar, the woman says to herself as follows, I am already a Mamzeres. I'm not going to get any worse by marrying this guy. He's not going to passel me. Give me a chance. What's the name again? I am already a Mamzeres. That is a fact. I'm already a Mamzeres. The answer is my children. Now, the Gemara says in Kedushin that a male mamzer can get his children not to be mamzerim. It's a machloikas tanoim. The way a male mamzer can stop mamzeris in his family is by marrying a shifcha knanis, which he's allowed to do. He marries a shifcha knanis, kids are avodim knanim, and the owner frees them, the regular Jews. So she says to herself, listen, I am not going to hurt myself by marrying this guy because I'm already a mamzeres. 50% of my children don't have to be stuck with the label mamzer, meaning the son will be stuck with it, but it won't pass on. Yes, my girls will be stuck with mamzeres, but it's still, I am not hurting myself. I want to get married. Because male mamzerim can get rid of the mamzeres of their children by marrying shifcha knanis. Female mamzerim have no way of shedding it from their children.
So the male children have the potential to shed.
Exactly. The male children have potential to shed it. The female children have no potential. So this is what she says to herself. Listen, I'm not going to hurt myself by marrying this guy. I'm already as bad as it comes. I'm a mamzeres. My children, 50%, will be able to shed it. 50% won't. I'm going to do this. And we blame her for this marriage, even though it is not rabbinic, and there are consequences, but in her mind, the consequences are not terrible, because usually the consequences are to the woman herself, like when she becomes a chalola or a zayna. She's already a mamzeres. She already is gone. Out of her children, 50% are not going to be stuck with this necessarily. They have potential to shed it. Therefore, she won't take the persuasion. So the Gemara wants to say that would be the difference between the Svara of Rav Shimon ben Elazar and the Svara of Rebbe. Rav Shimon ben Elazar, who we are now operating, holds that the difference is when she's the driving force of the marriage or when he's the driving force of the marriage. Over here, she drives the marriage because even though there are consequences, there are limited consequences. It's not as bad as other chayvei lavan, which make her into a zayna or a chalala, which make all her kids puzzle. Then a woman doesn't want to get into such a marriage. But when here that she's bad already, she's not going to get any worse. And half her kids will be okay, at least in her mind. She will drive the marriage. Therefore, over here, we would take away a ksuba. Whereas according to Rebbe, we look at biblical and rabbinic. This is biblical, there's no reason for us to punish by biblical, and therefore she would get a ksuba. That is what the Gemara wants to say would be a case of the difference between the svara of who's the driving force and Rebbe's svara to differentiate between biblical and rabbinic.
She and her kids, 50% of her kids, can get out of being a mamzer by...
By marrying a shim, not themselves, their grandkids, right.
I'm just trying to say that she really wants to get married. This is ridiculous. How many shifcha
knanis
are out there?
Enough.
Yeah?
Slavery was permissible. We're not in the United States of America where slavery is under the radar.
It's a holiday now.
Juneteenth. What's the day? Today? No, not today. No, today's not the 19th. Today's the 18th. Tomorrow's the Yom
Kippur.
Well, there's a nitcha.
No, banks are closed?
Not yet. I don't think they signed the law yet. They just passed.
He
signed it already? Yeah. Today's already a holiday? No mail?
Is it a garbage day?
The 19th. Juneteenth is the 19th.
First of all, I don't see any greeting cards over that. Everybody gets it, you know? But what's it for? For what happened?
Why is this negated tomorrow?
Why? Who cares? I mean, why should it matter?
But anyways, on Rabbi Cohen's point about the Shifra Kananis and how many are available, I think that's a great point for Rabbi Cohen.
But why do you just say it now?
Does the Mamzeris hunt for Shidduchim?
The Mamzeris is going to hunt for Shidduchim, yeah. The Mamzeris is going to try to persuade a regular Jewish man to marry her. In her mind, she says to herself, my son will be able to make sure it doesn't pass on to the grandchildren.
So when her son becomes of eligible age, she's going to be hunting
him. He's going to be hunting for Shifra Kananis.
Yeah, but
well, he can do it himself. He doesn't want his kids to be Mamzerim.
I think what strikes both Rabbi Cohen and I is that all of a sudden, Shifra Kananis is very eligible.
Only for Mamzerim.
I know, but there's a market.
Again.
What we're missing here is she's looking to a better generation. Her generation now, I mean, her son's generation, he's still a Mamzer.
Right.
It's only for the next generation.
Right.
She's messing up her son.
Again, in her mind, she's not messing up her son. She's not messing up her son.
Right.
No, let me explain. No, I want to say more. She's not messing up her son. He'll be a mamzer, and therefore what? What will be wrong with him? He'll buy mamzer yaina. A mamzer can get mamzer yaina. One, he can get shlishi. If he's a talmud chacham, he can get shlishi.
Well, if it doesn't matter to him, then why does it matter to her either?
No, it matters in shidduchim. It matters that a mamzer won't be able to marry a Jewish girl. He doesn't have to marry a Jewish girl. He can get out of the system by marrying a Shifra Kananis.
What's the marriage market for mamzers versus Shifra Kananis? I mean, is one a bigger market than the other?
Shifra Kananis doesn't have marriage. She usually cohabits with a Eved Kanani, no marriage, and they produce avadim for their owner.
But in this case,
this mamzer will persuade some owner to let him marry his Shifra Kananis, and the owner will free those avadim. That's the idea.
It seems to Rabbi Cohen and I that it just is a remote incentive for marriage.
What Harvey's trying to say is like this. On the shidduch market, tell me about your lineage, okay?
Well,
my son is a mamzer, or the boy, but just in general, just to say, he raised it, what's the bad thing about it? Oh, well, I'm a mamzer, but, you know, that's just an agav different thing, right? You know what I'm saying?
I understand what Harvey's trying to say. I think that we're not looking at the total picture here. I really think so. Again, said that when there are consequences, women don't want to get married to somebody that's going to create consequences for them and for their children. Usually, the consequences are for the woman themselves and for all her children. In the case of Mamzer, 2/3 of the consequences are not there. She's not going to have any consequences, and her sons won't have lasting consequences. So in her mind, she says to herself, this is my best option. I want to get married. It's hard for me as a mamzeres to find a mamzer, because all my children will be mamzerim, this will perpetuate, and they don't want to do this. It's going to be very hard. It's easier for me to persuade a regular Jewish man to marry me. Now, he might not want to do it because it's a lav, but I'll try to persuade him. Now, usually women are turned off from that because of the consequences that they create. In her mind, she's not creating that terrible of a consequence. And therefore, that is not there. That's what the Gemara is saying. I'm sorry? Allows her to rationalize. Correct. Again, remember this drive of a woman to get married. She needs somebody to support her. She doesn't have money. She wants to be supported. She doesn't want to create terrible consequences. So this allows her to view it as, again, she's being given a love, you know what I mean? She's going to get malchus for this if Beth was around and when she gets born. But in her mind, I want to get this done. Right? The deterrent of consequences is not there as much as a usual chayvei love. That's what the Gemara is saying.
Rabbi Margaret.
Read inside. Dante Gemara.
Rabbi Margaretin?
Yes.
Yitzchak?
I'm listening.
I thought a Yid wasn't allowed to live. Excuse me?
Can't hear you.
I thought a Yid wasn't allowed to live with a Shivcha Kananis.
Mamzer is.
Oh.
Commandama deraisa, Hanami deraisa. Mandama shemagila, Hilahi margulale. Here she'll do the persuasion. Zuktrashi. Zuktrashi. Hohi margulale. Hoyovaina grua machamasai. She's not going to get any worse. Tircha, she bothers herself. Umahadrili nasu Yisrael. Kedei lahalo zara. In her mind, she's improving the lot of her children because at least one of their parents is a Yisrael. In actuality, it looks better that one of the parents was a Yisrael, but in halacha it's no different. Her mind, she married up. She married a Yisrael. Her kids are going to be half mamzerim, but there's no such thing. Their kids are going to be mamzerim. There is a correction, there is a process where the mamzerim can get it out of their system, kerem tarfen. The amr b'kedushin yichayla mamzerim l'tahar. Mamzerim have the ability to remove mamzeris by marrying a shivcha kananis. Tarcha mincival Yisrael. So she'll be the driving force in this marriage. Therefore, according to Shimon ben Elazar, we would punish her. According to Rebbe, biblical remains biblical. Fret the Gemara. According to Rabbi Eliezer, who disagrees, and he says if the mamzer marries a shivcha kananis, the child has both. He's an eved mamzer, and therefore he can't get rid of mamzeris. That means all her children will remain mamzerim. So there goes her drive to get married, all her descendants, and therefore there's no way out. She can't rationalize this anymore. So she won't persuade him. So we're back to what's the nafkamina. According to Rabbi Eliezer, this is not a case of nafkamina. This is a regular chayv lavin that the woman doesn't do the persuading because there's too many consequences. Dr. Gemara, Amar of Yosef, that's Urashi.
Maybe going that like
again, we're looking for a case of difference. So we found the case of difference according to one Tana, but not according to the other Tana. So Rashi, Rabbi Eliezer the Polygalid of Tarfon. The Yaman, he says, Mamzer Shanasa Shivcha Vahilid Ben, ain't a Nitzimin Amamzeris, Mishalab Dusai. He does not get out of Mamzeris. Avila Evid a Mamzer, which by the way is a big Kiddush, but this is not the Sunya here, because usually by Shivcha Kananis it goes maternally. And here we're giving both maternal and paternal. Hakivan the Leket the Kanta Lazara, there's no way for her children to correct their descendants, Le Mahadil Mifsal Zare. The Gavra, the Mahadra the Mifsal Zara, the Gavra, Fishi Magnetiso Tamid, the Mahadra the Mifsal Zare, she won't go to pull passel all his kids of the man, meaning she thinks to herself, I'm going to persuade him to marry me. There's going to be consequences, and he won't like the consequences. And he's going to say, I'm not marrying you. Why should I marry you? You're going to have terrible kids. They're all going to be mamzerim, and I have no way to persuade him not that way. He'll always be angry at her. So therefore, the woman won't try to persuade the man to do this because he won't want the consequences. If it happens, it's the man's fault. Zakti Gemara, Amar Rav Yaisef, El Amar Rav Yaisef. Magzer grushasa ikke benayu. The difference is mishanissus ikke benayu. The difference is some people take out mishanissus. The difference is a man that takes back his divorcee after she got remarried, divorced, or widowed, and now he wants to take her back. It's a lav. It's a biblical lav. But there are no consequences to the kids, and there are no consequences to her. She's asher terkayin. She's a grusha. Right? She's a grusha. She doesn't become asher to truma because she doesn't become asher to truma because she is not zaret lemiyikara. It's not a lav that is built in. It's a lav that came later. We had earlier in the Masechta that there's certain lav, and since she was allowed to marry her at one time, it's not, doesn't pass over from truma. She loses nothing. Her kids lose nothing. So that would be a case where there's no consequences. The husband would not be angry at her for causing kids to be puzzled. She has no psul, so she's not worried about her consequences. and it's a deraisa. Here is a case of no consequence of a deraisa.
She's the merkula here.
So she'll be the driving force because she has nothing to lose. So we blame her for the marriage and we take away her tzuba. According to Rebbe, it's a biblical prohibition, and by biblical prohibitions we don't punish her. That would be the case of difference. There are no consequences. Zero. Zakti Gemara, Mandam Mishum Deraisa, Mazami Deraisa, Mandam Mishum Magila, Himar Gilalay. Rashi, Mazi Vishasim Mishinissus. Rashi doesn't elaborate anymore.
So the Rabbanim step in according to that
Mandam? So according to Shimon Elazar, the Rabbanim would take away her tzuba. And according to Rebbe, they would not. That would be the case of difference.
That's on divorce.
A woman that got divorced, remarried, and then got.
First husband,
exactly. Frank the Gemara.
That's the only case of
Ashur Shusetha. Exactly.
No,
100%. Rashi's just telling you, Ashur Shusetha means after she got married.
The
Bach takes it out of the Gemara because Rashi put it in. That's a riot that he didn't have it in his Gemara. Yes.
Again,
you're right. But if it happens, we're dealing with, if it happens, who do we blame? I don't know. They'll do the ceremony without a rabbi. You don't need a rabbi for Kedushin. The reason we need a rabbi for Kedushin today is to make sure everything's done right. Really, two people can get together, man and a woman, have two witnesses, and just do Kedushin. Nobody has to sanction it except themselves. Right? The story that happened. It happened. I remember it happened. By a carnival. A boy walked over to a girl with one of these rings that he won in a carnival, and he walked over and he said, in front of two people, and he said, I'm a Kedushin, and she stuck out her finger and took it. It was a whole big tumult. Does she need a get? This was a 15-year-old girl or a 14-year-old girl. And he was a teenager. They were playing around. Rebbeisha made them write a get.
No.
Yeah. There were two Adam, and he said, hire him because that's just
late.
Maybe she thought it was worth more.
Again, I'm telling you what happened. You now can write all the... They didn't do it publicly. It wasn't a public thing. But I remember the Meduber in town, the talk in the town was, or might just have to write again.
She
stuck out her finger and took the ring. Yeah, that was the problem. But she also was joking around. But you can't joke about certain things.
No. She,
and there was no rabbi officiating.
No. What I was trying to say is, she might have thought that the ring...
I heard you. All those svaras in
this.
Here we go. How much are they paying for this advertisement? How much are they paying for this advertisement?
He's paying nothing, but he uses all his money for advertising with the real station.
You know that?
No. Rabbi, I'm just saying that even if you don't hold like Rabbi Eliezer, she's the one incentivized by the chance her descendants, at least one of them or something, might become a non-monster.
And therefore she thinks, meaning like this, let me explain it better.
I understand. My question. Why would he do it? Why, if we say, according to Rabbi Eliezer's thing, that the guy has to be, Israel has no incentive to get married to this lady, really what's the incentive, if you don't hold by Rabbi Eliezer, why would you, she may not have any boys, she might just have girls. Why would you know that your generation of children marrying this mamzer are all going to be mamzerim, no matter what? Even if your grandchildren, you might get lucky, you might have a male.
Okay, so let me try to... Maybe I didn't do a good enough job of explaining this. Let me step back. And Mamzeris married a Yisrael. Fact. It happened. Question is she entitled to a ksuba? So the rule is, who drove this marriage? Now, let's go according to Rebbe. Let's not have Mamzeris. Let's have Amana married a Kohen Gadol. A mother married a Kohen Gadol. It's usher. And there are consequences. Who persuaded whom to do this marriage? So the rule of thumb is as follows. A woman says to herself, there's two problems here. Number one is, I will become a Chalala. Number two is, all my kids are going to become Pasul. and that's going to cause friction with my husband. He doesn't want it. So she would never be the engine to drive this. But it happened. That means he drove it.
So you're saying there's going to be a small percentage somewhere. The way we hold is that if she has some incentive, even a tiny bit, and he has none, we have to say it's her. That's what you're going to
say. Right.
But Rabbi Eliezer says, in this case, that the way he holds, that the guy absolutely has no incentive.
And she has no incentive. That's not enough of an incentive, because she realizes if all the kids are bustle, this is not going to work. This marriage can't work.
So the answer to my question is, we have to buy the way we conceive these things. We have to find the default person who drove it.
Correct.
To determine whether there's a kasuba, and the default has to be the person who has a smidgen of incentive.
And if there's no incentive, it's him. And if it's no incentive, then it's him. Meaning if she has no incentive because she's afraid to do this.
We're deciding what her incentive must be. I mean, we've decided here, though, that the small portion of the incentive has to
be. So let me rephrase it. No, I want to answer your question. No, it's more than that. In her mind, and again, this is the way Rashi explains it, she doesn't want a marriage that's going to be a constant friction. So by him, if she would persuade him to marry her, and all the kids would be puzzled, and she would become puzzled. A, it takes away part of her incentive, but even if she has another incentive, she knows her husband will be angry at her all the time for puzzling his kids.
So he's rich, and all her other prospects are these.
Again, we can't deal with one case. Overall, this is the way we look at marriage.
That's we're going to find that as the
correct.
The focus of our incentive, not money, not anything
right.
Else.
So here is the same thing with Mamzi Grushasai. Here it's better. There's no consequences. So to her, this is great if I can persuade him. He's not going to be angry at me because he's not losing anything. But the answer, but it is biblical, so that would be enough to me. Something
in
my right turn.
In case of Shomu Bimamzer, I mean, there's no out of it, no friction. Didn't you have a Gemara previously where a woman said she wants to get married so she can have children who will take care of her when she's old?
Again. She doesn't want to have a husband that's going to fight with her all the time. She's not going to drive a marriage that's going to be a non-starter. That's what the Gemara is saying.
I understand that, but she will have children.
Again, so she'll try to get children with somebody that won't be fighting with her all the time. Frank the Gemara. Ula Rabbi Kiva Damar Yesh Mamzeh Mechai Bilavim. Rabbi Kiva says there are consequences. The kid of a Mamzeh Grushas is going to be a Mamzer. So she won't be able to drive this. No way. If it happens, it's his fault, not her fault. Dr. Gemara, you're right.
What's her, who really, I mean, if we can't find an Avkamina between the two Shetan, what's who cares?
You're right. At the end of the day, if we don't find an Avkamina, we'll say there is an Avkamina.
Right, meaning...
But usually when there are two Svaras, there's a difference. We're trying to find it. We found one according to Tarfon. We found that other if you don't hold like Rabbi Kiva. We're going to see if we can find anything that works for everybody. We'll try.
Just for comments, just for
academic.
Intellectual pursuit.
It's an Avkamina, also an Halacha. And for the Gemara, Alamra, Papa, Ba'ula, Lekai, Gadli, Kibinayu. A Kain Gadli marrying a woman that was never married, but she's no longer a virgin. It's an Isser Asay. It's Deraisa, but there are no consequences. Because this Gemara holds that the children of an Asay is not a Chol. Therefore, there's no consequences. Bulu l'kayin gadli kibinai. Mandam
Deraisa.
That's what Gemara is going to ask. Mandam Deraisa. Hanami Deraisa. Mandam Leishu Margila. Hohi Margila Lei. Because there's no consequences. Frek to Gemara. Lord bless him. Yaakov. Dama Yesh Chol. Machai Vasei. According to Blazim Yaakov, there are consequences. Holy Margulah will be the Rashi, Dr. Rashi, Ba'ula Pnuya, unmarried, Lekayin Gadol. I say, Ika Besula Vilei Ba'ula. Belav Abba Mecha, I say. It's a inference of a positive. Belav the Zayna Lekha, because there ain't Zayna Levelis Bi Asura. She's not a Zayna. She never did anything wrong. Reblazim Yaakov, Abba Yavemtai. And for the Gemara, we're going to try one more, and it's not going to work, and then we're going to come to a final one. Elam Ravashi Magzir Suffix Saitasa Ikibinayu. What happened was, this woman was warned by her husband not to go alone in her room. Right? She was warned by her husband not to go in her room. And she went alone in a room with that person. She was warned not to go with this person, and she did. She's now ushered to her husband until she drinks saita water. Right? And the question is, she now let's set up the case. She now lived with her husband. She violated the iser that she had to have a relationship with her husband once she had the stira. She violated an iser deraisa. It is usher for the husband to live with her till she drinks the saita water. He lived with her. Who do we blame for that? Who do we blame for the fact that they had the relationship after she became usher?
Before she drank.
So, it's biblical. So if you go by biblical, she doesn't lose her ksuba. Right? We say he messed it up, so she doesn't lose her ksuba. What? Yeah. And then, but if you learn about the driving force, let me just finish. Again, this man and the woman are not allowed to cohabit together. They're husband and wife. But they have an issa d'oraisa to live together till she drinks. They had a relationship. So now the saita water is gone. It's out. He has to divorce her. Does she get a ksuba? It's biblical. It's a biblical issa. So according to Rabbi, we wouldn't make her lose the ksuba. According to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, we say, who persuaded whom to have that relationship? We blame her because there is zero consequence to this. So we say, she probably wanted to have maintained this relationship, and she persuaded her husband to live with her. What? Can't hear you.
Yeah, she has to drink
there. What
if
he married
her? Now she has to get divorced.
Okay, fine. But the question is, they had this relationship. It happened. We're not talking about whether she's going to. They had this relationship.
Well, who's going to instigate them before? Who's going to instigate it?
Right.
You are looking from before.
But either way, they're going to have to get divorced if they have this relationship.
Not if she drinks and it's fine.
Again, they had the relationship without drinking. Well, we're talking about post facto.
No, we're not. We're trying to figure out before the relationship who instigated it. We're trying to figure out.
No,
before.
We're trying to find out after the relationship who instigated it before. You're right. We're trying to figure out after it happened, who do we blame for this one? Who do we blame?
Well, she knows that she's going to have to divorce the guy. If she lives with him, maybe she wouldn't.
What? Why would he?
So then why does it fall on her? If neither of them have any.
Because women want to have more, be married more than men.
No, they're going to end up having to get
divorced. Well, it's an iser. They don't think they're going to get divorced. Like this Mom's Harris doesn't think they're going to get divorced either. They get married hoping to get away with it, right? So she's thinking that she's going to get away with it, and he won't divorce her.
But once they cohabit, they're no longer they're still married. They are just under a biblical requirement to get divorced.
Like a Mom's Harris is a biblical requirement.
So what we're saying here then is that her incentive is to keep getting supported, and if they end up having a forced divorce, then what happens? Is she going to be supported? Is that
not only supported financially, she wants a husband.
Well, I'm trying to differentiate.
It's no different than any other love.
I'm trying to differentiate between her desire to have it versus her desire to marry and be supported. He's trying to convince him that she really loved her. Yeah.
Again. We have a rule. Women want to be married more than men. That's the rule. That's the operating assumption.
Even if it's a halakhically invalid
marriage. Halakhically illegal marriage. We're not dealing with a woman asking, should I get married to him or not? That's not what's happening here. They got married. They did the Isser. That means Isser didn't scare them. Neither of the two. Neither of the two backed off because it's prohibited. The Raya is they got married. They're living in sin.
They got married before.
No, I'm talking about by Mamzeris. Any kind of love. They got married. They did the Isser. This woman and man cohabited together. They lived together. They did the Isser. The question is, who are we placing the blame on?
Are there consequences to future children?
No! None!
Not
a lot. I mean, according to Rabbi Akiva, it's not Zarat. Would Rabbi Akiva hold your imams if they have children? I don't think so. I don't think so. I don't think so.
After the Sota process is initiated, until they're divorced, he can cohabit.
No, he can't. The minute she goes privately in a room, he becomes prohibited to have a relationship with her.
So then the question is, they did cohabit, who initiated that?
Right.
So they're still halakhically married.
Correct.
Valid marriage?
Illegal marriage. Valid.
But the marriage is a marriage.
100%.
Their kids who are created after that are not
Mamzerim. No.
Like that. So, we're defaulting to women want to be married, remain married more than men.
Correct.
Because
whatever reason the Chazal tell us, women want marriage more than men.
Now we're back to the general idea.
Right.
Women like marriage, men are like whatever.
Okay. Zog to Gemara.
Isn't there any thought that she's accused of something? She wants to show her. Why can't we say that she wants... No one says that's why she's maybe more to blame. Because she wants to show her husband that she really loves him, even though he's accused her.
You know, love is not a factor in this whole thing. Ramatzi Mecheres says she turns into a Zayna. So there is consequences. She won't do it. She doesn't want to turn into a Saita. A Zayna. She becomes also Lakuna. She becomes also Truma.
How about kids?
What? Not true. If she drinks, she's not. She'll want to drink.
How's she gonna marry Cohen then?
If she drinks, yeah. And then her husband dies, she can marry Cohen.
The kids, if she's a designer with the kids, they're not possible?
I don't know what would happen if you're old, she's a designer. I don't know. She become halalim if a guy marries her. I don't know.
Is Zayna halal the same thing?
Similar, yeah.
Does she have to get divorced now? Well, Rabbi Derech
has to get divorced. But again, we're doing here something here that we can't do in this Gemara. The Mamzeres shouldn't be married to the Yisrael. Nobody should be married illegally. We're dealing with facts that they are married illegally. And we didn't break up the marriage. Because if we did, this would never have happened.
Well, Rabbi Derech is on the way to find out if she's a...
Correct.
So on the way, she becomes a Zona to him or to everybody?
To everybody. According to Ramatzi Mecheres.
Right, and therefore they never get to Yerushalayim for men.
There's no reason to go. Even not according to Ramatzi Mecheres, there's no reason to go. The water won't work anymore.
Even if she was innocent the whole time,
it's not going to make a difference. Dr. Rashi, some excited Shekinah of Anistra of a Koyle of Yisura de Raisa. She's asked it to her husband, and she's asked it to the one she's accused of. Why should she want not do this? It's going to make her into a Zayna. She doesn't want to become a Zayna. And for the Gemara, this is the final answer. Here is a woman that had a relationship. They're Edim that tell us this woman lived as an Eishes Ish. No sight of Suffolk. We know this lady had Znus as a Eishes Ish. She is a Zaynab. She's nothing. Two Adam came in. You don't even need Kinoi. to it. We call her a Saita because she was Mezana. She is a Saita. She was Mezana. This woman was Mezana. She's now usher to her husband. She's now usher to her husband. Right? The kid is not a Mamzer, Rashi will point out. Because everybody agrees that the kid from a Saita is not a Mamzer. A husband who lives with his wife who's prohibited to him because she was Mezana does not create Mamzerim. Let me just finish. She's a Zayna. Please, I don't mind to be upset. I just said get through. She's a Zayna ready. She's Pasul Kuna already. There's no consequences to her. And there's no consequences to the kid. She was a woman that's Mezana. Her husband should be furious at her. He should throw her out of the house. He didn't. He lives together with her. He stayed married to her. Prohibited. Biblically prohibited. He shouldn't stay married to her. If we ask the Shiloh, he's not allowed to stay married to her. And if he has any seichel, why would he want to stay married to a woman who was Mezana under him? But the bottom line is, he stays married to her. Now they get divorced. Does she get a ksuba or not? So Rebbe says this is a biblical answer. There's no reason for us to punish the woman. And if Shimon Lazar says, if they stay married, this is her fault, not his fault. There are no consequences to her. There are no consequences to the kids. Women want to stay married more than men. If they stay married, she did a good job on him. She did a good job on him. And therefore, she loses her ksuba.
How can the kid not be...
Because the Gemara said on the Mem Testament base that everybody agrees that from a site that there's no Mamzeris. That was the Gemara of the Mem Testament base. Hakol Maidim, the Gemara said. The Ba'a Saita, that it's not a Mamzer.
What is it?
Nothing. Kosher kid. What? Wouldn't do anything. Talking about what? I don't know if that's enough of a consequence.
Didn't she lose her ksuba right when she had
snot?
Yeah.
She already
lost her ksuba.
Yeah,
the ksuba's
right there.
So that they asked Akasha, and they answered that, one minute. They asked Akasha, L'chaira, she loses her ksuba. No, they don't ask it here. Meaning, why would she not lose the ksuba? So let's say the following happened. He divorced her. He didn't pay her ksuba. Then they got remarried. Not legally, again. She was Mezana. He divorced her. Didn't have to pay her ksuba. She was Mezana. Threw her out of the house. 6 months later, they got remarried.
Nuksuba.
Nuksuba. Who do we blame for this marriage? Who sold whom on this marriage? Kara says she has nothing to lose. She's already a Zayna. Her kids are going to be kosher. According to everybody. So why wouldn't she want this marriage? Again, it's illegal. But we're talking about people that are doing illegal things.
Is this considered Masir Gushoso?
No, she didn't get remarried in between.
She had an affair.
No, she did not have an affair in between. She had an affair while she was married.
She was married.
Doesn't make a difference. An affair wouldn't make her mouth to be shut anyway. Why not? It's a valid marriage that's illegal. It's like different than Amon Lekain Gadlin and Mamzeres to Yisrael or all other biblical Yisrael.
So that Israel can carry through to prevent a Nuksuba.
Yeah. Rashi. She wasn't forced. The Gemara in the first parak considered this a law. The Amr Achriyachu Hutama, the Rabbi Saita. it said from the pasuk that he can't take her back, that it's going on a woman that was a mizana. So why does the Gemara say according to Rebbe Akiva it's a mamzer? La pirchu. The truth is, aminu le'el ba'chaylitz, hakel ma'idim ba'al, saita shayna v'laz mamzer. There the Gemara said saita is an exception to the rule. And therefore, there's no consequences. And that would be the case of nafkamina between Rebbe and Rav Shimon ben Elazar, according to everybody.
Why don't you ask
it
then?
I
can't believe that.
Nobody argues on that.
Why don't you ask it then? Why are you waiting to
say if you take a look at Baptism and Days, which is where it is,
we need
I understand. I'm not. Rashi says over there, that the reason that sight is an exception is because, Rashi says, because Rabbi Kiva's rule is the mamzer happens when there's no marriage, when kedushin doesn't work. If a woman's mezana under her husband, the kedushin don't go off. If Rabbi Kiva's rule is mamzers only when there's no kedushin, here's a woman that was mezana while she's married. She becomes biblically prohibited to her husband now as a lav. Yet the marriage is still valid. Even according to Rabbi Kiva, nobody says she gets out without a divorce. Why? The marriage is gone. It's a lav. So the Gemara proves from there that this is an exception to the rule. Therefore, this marriage is valid, and therefore gets no mamzeris. That's what the Gemara says on Mem Tes Amud
Beis. There's no difference between staying married and
staying married. No difference, right. That's what the Gemara says on Mem Tes Amud Beis. So this is an exception to the rule, because the Torah did not take away the Kiddushin. I think part of the problem we have in this sugya that's eating the people, is this is all illegal. Like, this shouldn't be happening to begin with. And I agree. All these people are doing Averis. But the Averis happened. We're not trying to stop the Avera. The Avera happened. We want to know who to blame for the Avera.
The big Avera is Gila Arias.
Well, it's not Gila Arias, it's Lavin. Arias or Gila Arias is Croesus or worse. This is Chayvin Lavin. It doesn't go into Gila Arias. You don't have to be, I think you have to be, I don't know if you have to be Yera Gal Yaver for a lav. What? Is that Abizrayu? A lav? Is that Abizrayu?
It's not worse. I mean, it's not better.
It's not true, because Abizrayu is with a Chayvin Croesus.
You should say with Aiden, though, she can kill.
Oh, this one here. Yeah, she committed Gilui Arayas. But what she's doing with her husband is not Gilui Arayas. I don't know if that's called Abizrayu. Abizrayu is a relationship with a woman that's a Chayvin Croesus. Fine, everybody should have a wonderful Shabbos.